Bring the shards of the fallen city. Can you find somewhere public nearby where we can land?
I'm doing it, Chantrell said, although I don't know what good it will do. You can hardly walk into a plaza with a gun at my head.
Maybe people will assume we're a living exhibit and leave us alone.
Is that as far as your plan goes?
She sounded disappointed in me.
No, actually, it goes a bit further than that. This coat, for instance, has very capacious pockets. I know I can conceal the gun in one without any difficulty, and I can keep it pointed at you without it looking as if I'm just exceptionally pleased to see you.
You're serious, aren't you? You're going to walk through the plaza with a gun at my back?
It would look a little silly if I pointed it at your front. One of us would have to walk backwards, and that wouldn't do. We might bump into one of your friends.
Chapter 27. We landed with the absolute minimum of ceremony. Chantrell's cable car had come to rest on a ledge of flat metal buttressed out from the side of Escher Heights, large enough to accommodate about a dozen other vehicles. Most of them were cable cars, but there were a couple of stubby-winged Volantors. Like all the other flying machines I had seen in the city, they had the sleek, hyper-adapted look which told me they hadn't been built before the plague. It must have been difficult, flying them through the warped thicket the city had become, but perhaps the owners just enjoyed the challenge of flying through the tangle. Perhaps it was even a kind of high-risk sport. People were coming and going from their vehicles, some of which were private and some of which carried the insignia of taxi firms. Other people were just standing around the edge of the landing pad, peering at the rest of the city through pedestal-mounted telescopes. Everyone, without exception, was outlandishly dressed, in billowing capes or overcoats, offset with studiedly bizarre headgear, patterned in a riot of colors and textures which made even the surrounding architecture look a little on the restrained side. People wore masks or hid behind shimmering veils or elegant fans and parasols. There were bioengineered pets on leashes, creatures which conformed to no known taxonomy, like cats with lizard crests. And some of the pets were not even as strange as their owners. There were people who had become centaurs, fully quadrupedal. There were people who, while still basically conforming to the standard-issue human shape, had twisted and stretched it so far that they looked like avant-garde statues. One woman had elongated her skull to such an extent that it resembled the horned beak of an exotic bird. Another man had transformed himself into one of the ancient mythic prototypes of an extraterrestrial, his body preposterously thin and elongated, his dark, slitted eyes like almonds. Chantrell told me these kind of changes could be effected in days, weeks at the most. It was possible that someone who was sufficiently determined could reshape their body image a dozen times in a year, with the same frequency with which I thought about cutting my hair. And I expected to find Ryvich in such a place?
If I were you, Chantrell said, I wouldn't stand around staring all day. I take it you don't want people to realize you aren't from around here?
I felt the ice slug gun in my pocket and hoped that she saw my arm tense as I found it. Just walk on. When I want advice, I'll ask for it. Chantrell continued wordlessly, but after a few steps I began to feel guilty at snapping at her so strongly. I'm sorry. I realize you were trying to help.
It's in my interests, the woman said, out of the corner of her mouth, as if sharing an anecdote. I don't want you attracting so much attention that someone makes a move on you and I end up getting caught in the crossfire.
Thanks for the concern.
It's self-preservation. How could I feel concerned for you when you've just hurt my friends and